Este é um podcast Rádio Comercial.
O sentido da vida.
Mas qual é o sentido da vida?
Segue.
O sentido da vida.
E então, está preparado para o primeiro sentido da vida em inglês? Eu vou explicando algumas coisas, mas assim até aproveita para praticar, não é? Eu sei que este é um podcast e que só pode ouvi-lo lá para 2028, mas neste momento acabamos de celebrar em 2024 um Dia da Criança e nada como celebrar a nossa criança interior, ou lá o que é, conversando com um dos nossos autores de livros infantis preferidos. É também a primeira vez que vamos falar em estrangeiro neste podcast. Wendy Lee é australiano. Ele é o autor da série Não Abras Este Livro, que já vai com 8 livros traduzidos em português. No total, a série já vendeu mais de 3 milhões de cópias em todo o mundo e está traduzida em 35 línguas. Se ainda não conhece, vai perceber que o tom bem-humorado e desafiante destes livros do Wendy Lee torna-se mesmo um bálsamo para puxar a gargalhada das crianças. E não há nada melhor do que crianças a rirem, talvez só crianças a dormirem a noite toda. O Wendy Lee é, acima de tudo, um porreiraço e tem uma ótima resposta àquilo que, para ele, é o sentido da vida. É para ouvir mais à frente, então, neste podcast. Antes de mais, ele tornou-se escritor de livros infantis de uma maneira completamente acidental, porque, na verdade, Wendy Lee passou as últimas 2 décadas a entreter a Austrália. Ele teve um programa de rádio durante 8 anos com o melhor amigo Hamish Blake, um programa que recebeu, por exemplo, a Taylor Swift ou a Rihanna quando ainda ninguém as conhecia. Agora tem um podcast com o mesmo amigo e teve um programa de televisão itinerante em que viajavam pelo mundo. Basicamente, ele é uma celebridade na Austrália. Tudo isto, um rapaz que começou por estudar gestão. Faz todo o sentido, não é? Como vamos falar em inglês, eu vou parar a meio para explicar algumas coisas que possam ter escapado, mas venha daí então a bordo do primeiro sentido da vida, estrangeiro, e desta vez com o sotaque australiano.
O sentido da vida.
Welcome!
Nice to be here. And, I mean, you've set a big task though, the meaning of life, straight off the bat. I think it was like, I like answering questions like, what did you have for breakfast? This one is going to be pretty tough.
Yes, and usually people ask you about your entertaining life, right? And this radio is also something that you know very well. As you said, you've done radio for like 8 years and now you have a huge podcast.
Yes.
With your partner,
I've got a friend of mine called Hamish, and we're called Hamish and Andy. It's an inventive name. And we should probably thank our parents for the name, I suppose. We were doing broadcast radio for a long time, back from 2004 through to 2010. And then we did international travel TV shows. We went around the world doing that, which was nice. But, it was fun on the radio. The radio is the best, or podcasts are the best, because, you don't have to dress up. Yes, I'm here in my sandals, which is nice. But it's so intimate and, it's a different type of listening, I reckon.
It is. This all happened while you studied management. So what happened in the meantime?
Exactly. I didn't fix management structures of any radio stations. As you would know, that's always a very strange environment, isn't it?
In Australia as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. No one knows what's going on. I was studying commerce or business at university. And my friend Hamish was studying science. And when we met at uni, which was miraculous because neither of us went very often. So we kind of view it like a solar eclipse, like the two planets just kind of came apart, came across each other at the right time. And we were making each other laugh. And I guess what people now call is chemistry. It was there between us to make people laugh and follow silly ideas. And so we kind of stopped what we were doing in university and started on radio, yeah.
Wow. And was it hard for – well, you weren't very enthusiastic about your BA. Is that
right?
Yeah. So I imagine finding your talent on radio and finding that comedy was your life, how did that happen?
Oh, look, I do owe it to Hamish because I never thought that I would do it until I met him. And he is very, very funny. I think I've made a career from laughing at his jokes. You've got to need someone to laugh, though. So together, that's when we both turned our attention to it. He took some convincing. He was adamant that it might not be a real job, and his parents probably didn't like me to begin with because we were off to on this adventure. But we were lucky to get opportunities really early. And we started on a pop music station back when the whole thing was about rock music. The bands at the time were Franz Ferdinand and The Strokes. I'm not sure if these bands made it to Portugal.
But, yes, they did. Yes, yeah. In a more alternative kind of radio stations, yes.
Yeah, that was the popular music at the time. Mm-hmm. And then in our first year on the radio, pop music became a sensation like it is now. So in our first year, we had Taylor Swift on. We were with her mum there with a guitar. She was 19 years old and she's playing along Love Story, I think the song was. Rihanna in that first year singing SOS. And then Lady Gaga came on for Paparazzi. And we're having these people on the show wondering whether we'll ever see them again.
And now, so you're basically launching careers.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but you sit there and you go, oh, gosh, we used to play this game. Do you reckon we'll ever see that person again? And now they're all we see. You know, Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift. And Katy Perry was on for I Kissed a Girl. I didn't actually think she'd survive because I thought I Kissed a Girl, that song I thought was so cliche, but she turned out to be amazing. So I was wrong. So we were lucky that we had a show at the same time as people were kind of coming to the music. I'm proud of our show as well, but it all happened at the same time, which is very lucky. And then these people came back through, and every time they're in town, they come back on the show. And we kind of started out that way.
Wow. And then accidentally, in the middle of all the fame and all the hustle of comedy going around you, you wrote something for your nephew.
Yes. Yes. This is, I'm an accidental author because, and I've loved this part of my life recently because I never thought I'd be here. And I think they're the best parts of life, the surprises. I wanted to make a special gift for my nephew's first birthday. And look, he couldn't read at that point, to be honest. So it's probably more for my sister who had my nephew, George. And so I wrote a book and 45 minutes between Sydney and Melbourne. And my best friend from high school is a book publisher and they make up test books all the time and they just make up a singular book. And so I convinced him to make up a book for me with an illustrator I liked. And then he called and said, do you mind if we publish this? And I said, no, you're not allowed to. It's a gift. And we argued for 3 months. And then...
So do not publish this book.
Yes, exactly. And then eventually I said yes. And I rang my sister because I was worried about commercializing what was meant to be a nice present. And I said, hey, just so you know, they've been pestering me to publish this. Do you feel comfortable? And she's like, that's fine. You know, we love the book, so other kids should enjoy it. And I said, oh, look, I'll give some proceeds to George and any other nephews and nieces come along because I didn't think it would go anywhere. But the fact that it's now sold lots of copies, I had to ring her up and change the deal.
Lots and lots. Well, the latest numbers that I have here, I don't know if they're updated or not, 2 million copies worldwide, available in over 35 languages.
Yeah, that's a bit, it's a few more than that now. That's probably a little old, but yeah, it has been, you know, remarkable. So I think we're well into past 3 million. Copies of these books. And what I love and I'm proud of, and that's why I love being here talking to you and a chance to come to Portugal. I've never been here before. It is stunning. Is that I kind of knew that people would find the book in Australia because of my work with Hamish and obviously being lucky enough to have a profile. But seeing the books go well in countries where I'm not known at all, definitely is a nice and humbling feeling because you go, okay, it must be the words and the illustrations, probably more the illustrations because I don't do those bits there.
Well, it's not just the illustrations, it's the sense of humor. And it's funny because I got to know you after the books. So I didn't know you were a comedian. I didn't know you were a radio person until I read those books to my kids and they're huge fans. Every time a new book comes out, he'll, I have to have this, mother.
Good.
Okay, it's perfect. It really is, especially in nowadays. Well, everyone will tell you because children don't read anymore. Mm. And it's an interesting fact that maybe if you put some humor in books,
yeah,
it helps, right?
Yes. I think that's true of almost everything in the entertainment space. People are saying, oh, we're not watching TV as much as we used to, or we don't do this as much as we used to. I think because we have more choice, we've got podcasts and online audio and the streaming services and Netflix and TV, it's actually forcing everyone to be more entertaining. And the good ones do rise and do find an audience. We don't just sit through boring things anymore. So, yes, I think you're right. If you can find humour and find a clever idea, people will get drawn to it.
E as pessoas tanto ficaram atraídas pela série Não Abras Este Livro que já lá vão 3 milhões de cópias vendidas. Nem ele esperava tanto sucesso, mas é bem merecido porque os livros têm mesmo muita piada. Não sei se percebeu ali a meio que ele também disse que achava que a Katy Perry não ia ter sucesso nenhum quando ela foi ao programa de rádio dele na Austrália a apresentar ainda o I Kissed a Girl. Ele achou, ah, isto vai ser daquelas músicas que vai passar. Vamos então falar um bocadinho melhor sobre a série de livros Não Abra Este Livro, Não Abras Este Livro, que o Andy acha que são um ótimo teste de personalidade para crianças. Basicamente, há um monstro azul que está sempre a pedir para não virar a página, senão algo terrível vai acontecer. E isto parece uma coisa banal, mas deu para falarmos um bocadinho sobre a importância de haver assim um bocadinho de rebeldia e, sobretudo, estimularmos a liberdade nas crianças de hoje e o sentido do humor acima de tudo. O que o Andy lhe vai explicar mais à frente é que as diferenças culturais nos 35 países em que os livros estão à venda são gigantes. Alguns dos livros chegam a ser censurados, por exemplo, nas partes em que o desenho do monstro aparece sem roupa. Mas primeiro, ele que costuma fazer leituras dos livros e participar em feiras do livro, como aconteceu agora em Lisboa, o que é que as crianças lhe costumam dizer quando vão ter com ele?
It's a great question. It depends on the type of kid. There's always a very confident kid that says, I open them all. I don't care what they say on the front cover. And I'm like, oh, good for you. I can't believe you're brave enough to do this.
You're creating punk rock kids, right?
Yes. And for people who don't know the books, it's called Do Not Open This Book. And it's a grumpy blue monster that there's 8 in the series out here in Portugal. And there's a grumpy blue monster that doesn't want you to turn the page. You don't know why. Something will happen to him if you get to the end of the book. And it's interesting. I always said to parents, like, it's a good personality test for your kids. Because beware of the ones that are quick to just disobey all the time. Because when they turn into teenagers, that's when you're going to have to keep an eye on them.
Yes.
But, yeah, I've noticed throughout the world, I've done readings in Scotland and Canada and I've seen readings in Mexico and so on. You have a variety of kids that are excited to turn and are brave enough to turn and love disobeying. And then you have kids that are nervous and anxious to turn and unsure about that. And I do love the fact that you see everyone's personalities come out. And as the books have evolved more and more people have analysed them, which I never expected to happen, there's talked about a book that can encourage kids to take risks. And I think at the moment we have a society where we shelter kids a lot from everything. I know, I'm not sure about you, when I grew up, we didn't wear helmets on bikes and we didn't tell our parents even where we were going.
Never.
But that's no longer the case. So it's nice if that is true, if kids are being encouraged to take a few more risks and getting that out of these books, I'm proud of that as well.
Getting them a more rock and roll vibe, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because we do need that, and parents need that as well. Because I think as a mom, I think I look around and I judge myself as well. Because I understand that I'm always trying to be perfect, and our parents didn't try that at all. They just let us live, right? They fed us and that was it.
Right? Exactly.
Go to school. Bye.
It's so true. And I think, and look, it was nice that we weren't as connected. You couldn't be as connected. So if you went off to school, you didn't see them. There was no text messages. If you went off to a friend's house, you didn't see them. There was no text messages. And you just assumed that they'll be back at a certain time. And there was a nice freedom for children in that, which doesn't exist anymore, which I think, I don't know what psychological trauma that's putting on our kids, but it's nice to be a bit freer, I think.
Yeah, my oldest kid a couple of weeks ago started asking me, do you let me go to the playground by myself? And I said, Do you trust me? Yes, I do trust you. Go ahead.
And then he did
9. So
9, yeah.
That's about time, right?
Yeah.
And we're always afraid of the cars and the, you know, all of that. But we have to let them be independent, right? And create their own skills. And so with all this going around and you being such a celebrity in Australia and now in Portugal as well, how do you, well, it's a huge responsibility as well, right? To talk to little kids because you get to understand that you're kind of like creating a line of thought.
Yeah. Because I fell into this whole thing, I hadn't really taken stock of what it all meant. But I am very aware now that that's part of the responsibility. And there are certain words and themes that some countries don't want, and they choose not to publish that particular book because of it, which is interesting. There's some
with the nudity parts, yeah. I assume, right?
Mm. Yeah, there's I can understand that. And then there's certain language that that some people that doesn't translate, and we're quite laid back in Australia. Most of us speak like this, and you know, it's very late. We don't even bother enunciating any words. It's been interesting culturally to see how people respond. But I think there is a responsibility now. What I have learned is that kids are constantly these days told not to do something more than ever. Because of all the rules and the safety and all that stuff. So an opportunity to, and they are told that they have to obey all the time. And so an opportunity through this book to not have to obey, I think, is pretty thrilling.
It is. Thank you for creating that space in my family as well.
Oh, good.
It's been a chaotic, but very fun.
Oh, good.
Also. With all that, I know that with all the life experience that you have the same age as I do. I understand that you know a lot about life right now, right? So you have to
know. Just for everyone listening, Anna looks a lot younger than me.
No, I don't. But at this time, you should know what is the meaning of life, Andy.
Yeah, wow. Normally my answer to that is football.
Soccer or American football?
Australian rules football, which no one would ever know. And okay. My girlfriend would probably, my fiance, I should say.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. would think that I think the world revolves around football or cricket, two sports that you guys have no interest in. I think laughter, for me, is what's the meaning of life. Because that's where I find the most, you know, the happiness through that. So every part of my life that is, which involves a lot of laughter because of my line of work, but even outside of that, I gravitate towards those areas that are going to make me laugh, going to have fun. So fun more than funny. Everyone asks me about that with regards to what I do for a job. We just try to have fun more than try to be specifically funny or tell a joke. And that normally comes out through laughter and joy. And I think if we find those moments the most, that'd be where the meaning of life sits for me, somewhere in there.
Oh, perfect. I understand you so well. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the laughs that you offered the world.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here in Portugal doing this. And Lisbon is stunning.
It is.
Yes.
You should come and do some shows here in Lisbon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll support Taylor Swift. She was here last week, wasn't she?
She was. Yeah. Yes, she was.
I'm actually going to see Troye Sivan tonight. Do you know who Troye Sivan is?
No, I don't.
Australian singer, amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. And I just turned out that he's performing tonight in Lisbon as well. So Beck and I are going to see Troy. But you'll look him up. He's got 15 million followers on Instagram and he was in movies with Hugh Jackman and he's also a pop sensation. But yeah, Troye Sivan, he's pretty cool.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll look it up. And for the people who don't know Andy Lee or who don't know this children's series, they're amazing. Do not open this book. Thank you so much for bringing joy to our lives and to kids, but mostly to parents.
Thank you. Thanks, Anna.
Appreciate it. Portanto, recapitulando, o sentido da vida para o Andy Lee é, número um, o futebol, número dois, a gargalhada. Isto foi mesmo refrescante, não foi? Foi muito bom falar com o Andy Lee, ele é muito simpático, muito alto também. E muito obrigada a si por ter ficado até ao fim desta conversa. Já sabe que pode falar comigo pelo e-mail sentidodavida@radiocomercial.pt. Eu sou a Ana Delgado Martins, ou Ana Martins, ou Dudi para os amigos. E não se esqueça também de dar umas gargalhadas todos os dias para que a vida faça mais sentido.
Este é um podcast Rádio Comercial.